I grew fonder of Zechariah and his story from scripture just because a week and a half ago I spent several days with acute laryngitis and I couldn't do much more than squeak like a mouse. And 3 days with absolutely no power to speak about killed me. I don't know how he could stand it. But the other thing that's remarkable about this story in scripture is it comes at the very beginning of Luke's gospel. And we all tend to think that Luke's gospel begins with a very important birth. Well, it does, but not the one you're probably thinking about this week. So listen to this birth story. There are actually two birth stories that Luke tells. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, going all the way back. Aaron's Moses' brother. And her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all the commandments and regulations of the Lord. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren. And both were getting on in years. Once when he was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, Zechariah was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and offer incense. Now at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly was gathered outside the temple praying. Just then, there appeared to Zechariah an angel of the Lord standing at the right side of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you will name him John." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. But now, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day these things occur." Now the time came for Elizabeth to give birth, and she bore a son. Her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had shown his great mercy to her, and they rejoiced with her. On the eighth day, they came to circumcise the child, and they were going to name him Zechariah after his father. But his mother said, "No, he is to be called John." They said to her, "None of your relatives has this name." Then they began motioning to his father to find out what name he wanted to give him. He asked for a writing tablet and wrote, "His name is John." And all of them were amazed. Immediately his mouth was opened and his tongue freed, and he began to speak, praising God. Fear came over all their neighbors. And all these things were talked about throughout the entire hill country of Judea. All who heard them pondered them and said, "What then will this child become?" Then his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke this prophecy. "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has looked favorably on his people and redeemed them. He has raised up a mighty Savior for us in the house of his servant David, as he spoke through the mouth of his holy prophets from of old, that we would be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us. Thus he has shown the mercy promised to our ancestors and has remembered his holy covenant, the oath that he swore to our ancestor Abraham to grant us that we, being rescued from the hands of our enemies, might serve him without fear in holiness and righteousness before him all our days. And you, child, imagine him holding the baby John. And you, child, will be called prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare his ways, to give knowledge of salvation to his people by the forgiveness of their sins. By the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The child grew and became strong in spirit and was in the wilderness until the day he appeared publicly to Israel. And of course, that's a story for another occasion. Advent is absolutely a time of waiting and preparing. You know that children are waiting for Santa Claus to visit. You can feel their excitement. There's like this effervescent spirit in children this time of year because of their eager anticipation. Or there's eager anticipation as you smell the smells and wait for cookies to come out of the oven. Or maybe you're in line at the post office or at the grocery store waiting in line to do your Christmas tasks. Or maybe you're waiting for cards or letters, or if you're lucky, even a package to come in the mail. Or maybe you're waiting for a loved one to call that you've been longing to talk to for ages. Or you might be waiting for test results. Some of you students home from college are maybe waiting with bated breath to see what the college professors will mark on your final exams. Or if you're a patient waiting to hear back from a doctor or a nurse about the test results that you're waiting for. Or maybe you're waiting for a baby to come with all of the anticipation and fear that that brings as you wait to count those 10 tiny fingers and 10 tiny toes. Waiting has different connotations depending on what you're waiting for. I imagine some of you have been waiting for a very long time for things that you've been desperately longing for. Well, I want to encourage you, if that's you, not to give up hope. I think that's one of the things that Zechariah and Elizabeth's story does for us, is to encourage us not to give up hope, to know that God does answer our prayers, even in the seasons of our lives when it seems like God doesn't even hear our praying. Zechariah and Elizabeth waited their whole lives long for the birth of a child, for just that possibility that maybe they would become pregnant. But in spite of the fact that even in their old age, there was no sign, they still remained faithful, Luke told us. That's what it is to be faithful, to keep praying, to keep trusting, even when there is no proof that our prayers are heard. That's what Zechariah did. He kept on praying. He kept on trusting God. Perhaps his duties at the temple helped him with that. He could have been just going through the motions. Sometimes all of us do that. We keep going through the motions. He kept praying. And one day, the day that he had drawn the lot to be the priest that went into the temple and lit the incense while the people were praying outside, the incense was kind of a symbol as the smoke rose up to the sky. They imagined God enjoying those beautiful aromas from the incense, and that was like a sign to the people that as the smoke rose from the incense, so their prayers rose up so that God could get God's hands on them and that they would reach God. Well, while he's tending the incense, imagine that in the chamber he was in, it must have been a little smoky, but out of the smoky haze, wow, there comes his sign. It's a huge sign. It's a shocking sign. He's got the angel Gabriel in all of his magnificence standing right there in his presence, God sent an angel to Zechariah. There's no doubt that the angel Gabriel dumbfounded him with the news that he shared. Perhaps Zechariah and Elizabeth had prayed so long and waited so long and gotten so old they'd forgotten what they'd been praying for in the first place, but God hadn't forgotten. Gabriel's news that his prayers had been answered left him absolutely speechless, and I kind of think that maybe Zechariah lost his voice so that he could find his faith again and believe again that this is a God who answers prayers, even the prayers of an old, old, old man. During this time of year, I think a lot of us find ourselves just wanting to go through the motions, almost wanting to get it over with. It's so much that we take on this time of year. So we go through the motions without maybe any expectation at all that God really is going to show up, that God really is going to do a new thing in the world, maybe even a new thing in our lives. Or we get caught up in seeking the spirit of Christmas in the music or the parties or the gift giving or the baking or all those other trappings of the holidays. And we realize too late, most of us, that all of that chasing after the spirit of Christmas leads nowhere except exhaustion. I don't think many people hear God speaking to them over the loudspeakers at the mall or even on 108 FM. Often it's in the moments of quiet solitude that God speaks, or that we are best able to hear, like that moment where it was just Zechariah and the incense smoke lifting higher. Sometimes it takes an illness or acute laryngitis that knocks us out flat or sends us to the hospital that gets our attention or gets us to quiet, or coming to the end of our rope and admitting that we are bone weary, or finally reaching the point where we have no more words to throw at an issue or write on a paper, or when we realize that what we long for is not within our reach, so we can stop reaching, 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 reaching. Finally and only then will we rest in the quiet that might give us the opportunity to hear what God wants to speak to us. Advent calls us again and again into the silence to wait with eager anticipation for what God is about to do for us. In these days of Advent waiting, I pray that you will find your faith again, like Zechariah did, that you'll find your faith again to believe in the power of the coming one to bring healing, to bring wholeness, to bring light and love and peace to our world that so desperately needs it, but also to bring gifts for us. What if today you receive the kind of good news that Zechariah received that day in the temple, in the midst of your moments of longing or your moments of giving up or giving in or failing completely, or your moments of just helplessness, your moments of missing the mark or falling short, your moments of fear and trembling? What if, even in your moments of wondering if there even is a God, God had a word for you? I believe God does. I believe God has a word for each and every one of us, and that word is coming to life at Christmas. So let's let these next few days of Advent be a season of pregnant pause for us, in which we can eagerly anticipate and renew again our trust that God has heard and will answer our prayers. Christ is coming and coming soon. Amen.